Yeah, where do we go from here? What are we going to be doing in the next few days? Well, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I would advise this, is pray real hard. We really don't know what's going to take place in the next few days, next few weeks, months, but especially the next few days is going to be critical in this country. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we have no idea what's taking place. Donna keeps sending me these videos that I have to watch, so I keep, it's her fault, so I keep watching these videos, and it's like, whoa, really? But we don't know. We don't know. But we have nothing to worry about, right? Right. Nothing to fear. God is a good God, and He's always, He's still on the throne, and He knows what's going on. And a lot of us, this may be Him orchestrating some things in these last days. We'll just kind of wait and see. I would listen to maybe a little bit of news just to kind of keep up to date so you know what's going on. After the election, Kathy and I practically, we used to watch a lot of news, but I just don't care about it much anymore. It's somewhat depressing and somewhat discouraging, but these next few days, it's going to be interesting. So just kind of be prepared for whatever happens, right? Right. Right. Daniel. Let's go back to Daniel. And let's look at chapter 2 tonight. We won't be, I've only got two more points of the message. I have 5 points. I gave you 3 this morning. The position of the children, the plot against their learning and against their culture, and the purpose of Daniel. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel had a purpose. Daniel had goals. His main goal was to be the best follower of God that he could possibly be there in Babylon. That was his main goal. And wherever it led him, God blessed him greatly. And in chapter 2, we see the first 6 chapters of Daniel is Daniel's personal ministry. And then from 7 to 12 is Daniel's prophetic ministry. We see a lot more prophecy. However, chapter 2 is an extremely important prophecy that King Nebuchadnezzar had this incredible dream. And we're going to read about it here shortly. But he says, Nebuchadnezzar says that he totally forgot his dream. He had no idea what it was. He needed somebody to come in and tell him. I think he knew what it was, but I think he wanted the correct interpretation. I think he wanted to make sure that he got what he saw in his dream figured out. And he was waiting for somebody to approach him that came up with the right interpretation. And of course, Daniel was the one that came up with the right interpretation. Let's stand. I'm going to read some of chapter 2. It's kind of a long chapter. I'm not going to read it all. I'll just read a few verses. Chapter 2, you follow along as I read. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. He answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I will know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And a decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered and with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? And Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that no understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together tonight. It's good to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, thank you for the great examples that we have in Scripture of men and women that rose to the top when troublous times came their way. Lord, I'm just grateful and thankful for that. And Lord, I pray that in these days that we're living in right now, Lord, we need your help. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance in America. Lord, we need to see that you are able to take care of us and help us, Lord, during these times. And we know that you can do that, and we know that you will do that. So, Lord, we pray for your perfect will to be done in these next few days. Lord, we pray that you would help and move and work in a great and mighty way. Lord, again, we love you tonight, and we thank you so much for your blessings. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Here we see, of course, this amazing thing that Daniel did. There was a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar made or had, and he says that he didn't know what the dream was, and he wanted to find out what the interpretation was. The fourth part of this message, if you're keeping track of the points, is the prayer of Daniel. The prayer of Daniel. Again, we saw the position, we saw the plot, we saw the purpose of Daniel. Now we have the prayer of Daniel. Daniel prayed in time of need. I listened to a couple videos this afternoon by some people that we all know who they are. And their thing was that they said that everybody can do is we need to pray for America. We need to pray for our president that's the president right now. We need to pray very hard for President Trump, and we need to pray for our country right now. Everything that I heard this afternoon was pointing to that prayer is what is going to help us. Really, that's the only thing that's going to help us, is prayer. The question tonight is what helped Daniel during his time of struggle or his time of need was prayer. That's what got Daniel through. Daniel was able to get in touch with God. Daniel was able to get in touch with the throne of grace. Just like you and I are. We're able to get in touch with the throne of grace also. We can go to the throne of grace anytime we want, and we can pray to God about anything we really want, and God chooses to hear us, and he chooses to answer our prayers. That is something that is comforting to Christians, that we serve a God that does love us, cares about us, and will answer our prayers one way or the other. And so we need to pray extremely hard in these next 3 days leading up to Wednesday the 20th. We just need to pray for God's will to be done. We need to pray that God would direct in the leadership of this country. We need to pray right now for God to direct in the leadership of President Trump right now. Because there's a lot of things that are going on in the nation that is going to take extreme wisdom in order to deal with right now. And so Daniel was the great example of prayer. He prayed in a time of need. I love it when Daniel got together after he heard what was going on and he heard of the confusion and he heard that they were all going to lose their life if they didn't come up with the dream and the interpretation. The very first thing that he does after he goes in and sees the king is he calls for a prayer meeting. He only called for a prayer meeting with a total of four people. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. He didn't call all the other Jews that came into the captivity with Daniel. As far as we know, they were just those individuals. They were, you might say, Daniel's inner circle of men that he could count on, that knew God, and knew God in a very special way. Chapter 3 had not occurred yet, and so we know that in chapter 3 that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were about ready to go into the fiery furnace. But Daniel knew there was something about these three guys that he could trust and that he could gather together, and he knew that they were serious when it came to prayer. We all should be able to get in touch with somebody that we know that we can pray with when needed. There ought to be somebody that you can get in touch with if you need to pray with. Or you need to have somebody that you can maybe text or call or something to say, hey, would you please pray for me on this situation that I'm going through in my life? And be confident that that person will pray with you or for you. Maybe they can't pray with you right then and there, but they can start praying for you. We have our prayer lists, and I've added to the prayer list. I have names all around the prayer list of people that we pray for, that I pray for. And I'm just asking that God will work in their hearts and souls in some way. We have a young man that we've been praying for that Paul works with that is in jail tonight down in the Virginia area. I would ask you to pray for Moses Giri. He's in a lot of trouble. And he brought it all on himself. There's nothing that anybody else did. It just, he's in a lot of trouble. He needs a lot of prayer. And the only thing that's going to get him out of that is God's going to have to do something in his life to help him. And so Moses is a common name. You should be able to remember that. I've talked to his mother this past week on the phone, and Paul and I, we've talked about it. And we're just praying hard that this will be what wakes this young man up. Sometimes we need things that will wake us up. I think maybe what we have coming in the next few days might be just that. It just may wake up the sleeping Christians. You've heard of the phrase, the sleeping giants, or the sleeping giant. There's a lot of sleeping Christians in this country that are they're out cold. They're just asleep and loving it, snoring away. And we need something that'll wake us up. I don't know what's coming exactly. I've heard a lot of things. I have my thoughts. I have my own opinions, which I'm not going to share from here. But we need to pray hard. Daniel realized how important it was for him to pray. And so he calls his friends together. In verse 17 of chapter 2, Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret. You know, that's exactly what we need right now, is the mercies of God. America needs God's mercies. America needs help from God Almighty. Listen, I know that America in general has turned its back on God. And God really is not obligated to turn back around and do anything for America. I forget the number, but I think there's been 60 million babies that have been aborted in this country since the early 70s. The wickedness, the violence that's going on in this country, the sin that is rampant. He would be just in letting America just slide right down the tube into nothing. He'd be just. He would be just. But I think there's enough Christians in this country still that can get a hold of God and need to get a hold of God. And we have people outside of these walls listening tonight, I hope. You need to do that too. You need to pray. We all need to pray together. But he called together those that could pray. And we're asking tonight, and so many people have been asking from what I've seen in the last couple, three, 4 days, that we need to get a hold of people that know how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, you better start learning real fast. You better start getting in touch with God right now. Tonight is not too late to pray. He had a serious prayer meeting. There was four of these guys together, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They all got together. I don't know if they got on their knees, they got on their faces with their hands in the air to God, however they did it. We know that Daniel went three times a day and kneeled at his window and prayed out loud for his people and for Israel, for Jerusalem, while he was in captivity. We'll see that here in a few minutes. These guys had a serious prayer meeting that night. And as a result of the serious prayer meeting, God answered their prayers. God did something amazing with Daniel in verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. He had a vision. Daniel, this vision that Daniel had was exactly the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. What's the first thing that Daniel does? He praises God Almighty for the answer of his prayer. He stops. Now listen, his life is in danger. His friends' lives are in danger. Others that he has come in contact with, their lives are in danger. Daniel stops, even though the timing was such that he knew that this was a critical moment in time, but he stops and he blessed the God of heaven. Praise God. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God, forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." Daniel didn't brag about this, that God used him in a great and mighty way. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar gets so excited when he hears about the dream and the interpretation, he literally falls down and worships Daniel. One fault that I found, you can't find too many faults about Daniel, but there's one that I have found in the book of Daniel is when he allows people to fall down and worship him or bring oblation to him. He didn't correct that. He didn't stop that. I'm not saying that he didn't try. I'm not saying that Daniel was a horrible man when he did that, but you see that in this passage of Scripture. But he praises the name of God. He gives God the glory and the credit. He tells God in verse 21, "He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and the knowledge to them that no understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." And so Daniel was just thanking God for how God has revealed that whole particular thing with him. And then Daniel, of course, goes to Arioch in verse 24, and they go in and they announce to King Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel has got it. He's figured it out. And so they go in, Daniel gives the prophecy, and it was a prophecy to Nebuchadnezzar, and he saw this amazing statue. He saw this amazing form. There was the head of gold and the arms and the chest of silver. And then, of course, there was the brass part of this body that he saw. And then the toes and the feet were of iron and brass. And so Daniel had that all figured out. Daniel knew exactly what that was. He could only know that that was what it was because God showed him that. But that was an amazing prophecy that Nebuchadnezzar had. Of course, we know that the part of that image, the golden part, the head, was in reference to Babylon, and the next empire was the Medo-Persian Empire that took place after Babylon, and then the Grecian Empire, and then finally, the fourth part is the Roman Empire. The times of the Gentiles. But here's the thing that I wanted us to get into tonight. Not so much the prophetic part of it. We don't have time to get into that. But results came as a result of prayer. That's why people are begging Christians everywhere to pray about this whole thing going on with our government. Because can God change things? I just read that God sets up kings and removes kings. Amen. I was told today that Donald Trump is going to be the president for the next 4 years without fail, based upon things that are going on right now. Is that a fact? I don't know that. I can't say that. I probably get banned from Facebook and YouTube now, but that's all right. Yeah. But no, I don't know that that is a fact. But based upon the evidence that's out there that is going to be revealed in the next 2 or so days, that's what I heard today. Thanks to Donna. She's gotten me all excited again. But Daniel took time to pray, and then Daniel took time to praise the Lord and give God the honor and glory that he deserved. Daniel, in chapter 6, did this again. He prays again. Even when he knew that prayer was against the law of the Medes and Persians that was written down by Darius the king at the time, when Darius the king listened to his cronies that came up with this crazy law, they didn't even know how to say the word prayer. They didn't know what prayer was, but they used the word petition. King, we just want to make sure that you're the only one that people ask a petition of. They can't petition a god or anybody else for the next 30 days. King said, "Hey, I like that. Sure. I'll sign that law into effect." And so he did that. He signed the law into the effect. And if anybody had prayed to anybody other than the king, they were to be thrown into the lion's den. And you know the story behind that. Daniel, in verse 10 of chapter 6, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did what? Aforetime. This is something he did every day of his life. Very similar to King David. David prayed morning, noon, and night every day. David would pray. Daniel prayed. I hope and pray that you're praying multiple times throughout the day. The Bible says we are to pray without ceasing. This is an example of that. Prayer. Even somebody as important as Daniel is right now, as he's right there under the king, he is still taking time out of his schedule to pray. We need to do the same thing. We need to pray hard. Daniel did not care. He didn't close his windows. He didn't go into an inner closet. He could have, and that would have been fine if he wanted to do that, right? There's nothing wrong with, we have prayer closets to the point where we say that if you knew that you were going to be thrown into the den of lions, you probably wouldn't be yelling out your prayer so the guys outside your window would hear that. I don't know what you'd do. I know you're sitting there saying, "No, not me, preacher. I'd pray right out loud, real, right there next to my window." Yeah, I know you would. Yeah. You and I, we might say that, but when it comes down to that, I don't know what we'd do. But he could have gone to another part of his house, and he could have prayed quietly to God. God would have still heard him, right? God would have listened to his prayer. But he says, "No, this is something I do every day, and I'm not changing for anybody. I'm not changing because the king passed a law that we can't pray. I'm still going to pray." Kids in public school today can still pray in public school. They can bow their heads and pray in public school. They can even bow their heads and pray out loud in public school. Kids in public school can take Bibles with them to school. They may be made fun of. Maybe the teacher will say, "Oh, you can't have that here." And yes, you can. Kids can have Bibles in public school. Kids can bow their head and pray over their lunch in public school. It takes some courage to do that. It takes a lot of courage to do that. Daniel had courage. And he bowed his head 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel was a prayer warrior. He didn't let anybody tell him, the government, to tell him he couldn't do it. He did it anyway. Even though his life was in danger, he was protected by God. God is very capable of helping us and delivering when needed. You believe that? He's very capable of helping and delivering us when needed. We have nothing to fear or worry about. I said that this morning. We have nothing to fear or worry about. Nothing. Regardless of what happens in the next few days, we don't have to worry about anything. And so we have the prayer of Daniel. Fifth and final thing tonight is the purpose of us Christians. The purpose of us Christians. And I want to spend a few minutes on that because it seems to be lacking today in so many Christians. I touched on it this morning, but so many Christians have no idea what God's purpose for their life is. They don't know. I wonder, do they really care? I wonder how many Christians really care. Now, I don't know what God's purpose is for me. I don't really know, and I don't really care. I think that's the attitude of a lot of Christians today. They don't know what God has for their life. They've never asked God, and if you don't ask God, then you don't care. But we need to have a purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart. And we talked about those three things, that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or that which the wine that he drank, the king drank, or that he would just sin. He didn't want to do any of those things. But he had to make a purpose. I believe that we as Christians need a purpose in our heart to pray for our leaders. Go over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. You say, well, Trump's going out and Biden's coming in. Well, if that takes place, then we pray for Joe Biden. We pray for the president, regardless of who it is. If it was Hillary Clinton these last 4 years, we should have been praying for her. Probably should pray for her once in a while anyway. Not once in a while. Most of the time, probably. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We are to pray for our leaders. President, king, whatever it is, it's a leader. Governor of New York, the Senate, Congress, Supreme Court, we need to be praying for those in authority over us. Why is that? Well, Paul gives us the reason so we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. Don't you like peace and quiet? Some of us crave peace and quiet, right? We like peace and quiet. Well, I'll tell you know, in America today, there's very little peace and very little quiet. Maybe it's because us Christians aren't doing enough praying. I don't know. But the purpose of us Christians is to pray for our leaders. And again, I've seen in some of these videos that I've watched these last it's been the last week or so, that they're telling, these people are saying, you need to pray. Now, some of these people that I've listened to, they're Christians. But they're begging for other Christians to pray along with them. And pray that things that God gets a hold of hearts and souls and things change in this country. So we need to pray for our leaders. Secondly, we need to be the best testimony that we can be for the Lord. That's the purpose of us as Christians. Pray and then just live a life that's a great testimony. You have neighbors, no matter where you live, you have a neighbor somewhere. You come in contact with people, you shop with people, you know people, you have friends, you have relatives, and so we can be the best testimony that we can be for the Lord. Men and women like Daniel, guys, ladies, Esther and Ruth, and so many others in the Bible, these were exceptional examples to us. That we can see the way they lived their life. We can see how they dealt with difficulties and situations and trials and temptations and things. They didn't give up. They realized that their God was important enough to live for God. Their God was not some plaything. Christianity was not some game. Christianity was the real thing. And so we need to use these men and women like Daniel and Joseph and Peter and Paul and Esther and others as good examples for us. And Jesus Christ, the ultimate example for us. Pray for our leaders. Be the best testimony we can be for the Lord. Thirdly, stop being an armchair quarterback over the country in the elections and start doing something for God. How many of us have sat around Monday morning quarterbacking, armchair quarterbacking, sat around talking about all of this and this and that, you know, since November 3rd or November 4th, and we sit around and we talk about it, we complain about it, and we're doing nothing for God. It's like we're playing right into the devil's hands. Most conservative Christians do not like the way things ended up on November 4th, the day after the elections, right? Most of us did not, well, it was several days after that, but we didn't like what was going on. I saw that night that Donald Trump was way ahead in many, many states, and then all of a sudden, whoa, where did all these votes come from? And I think Donald Trump was sitting in the White House saying, whoa, we're going to win. Whoa, where did all these votes come from? And some people have the answer to where those votes came from. The problem is getting that information out to the public so they know where all those votes came from. I won't get into that tonight. It's too much, too heavy. It's too much. But stop being this armchair quarterback over the country and over the elections and all the things that didn't happen the way you wanted them to happen. And just start getting busy for God. None of us are busy enough for the Lord, I don't think. Fourthly, get involved in church. Get involved in church. See, what do you mean? Find a ministry and put your all into it. Yeah. Find something to do in church. I'm talking this church. I'm not talking another church. Y'all come here. So find something to do in the church and do it. Get involved. Again, stop being that armchair quarterback and just, you know, talk about all of the things that we could do or should do and how come the preacher's not doing this? And how come this one's not doing that? Stop doing that. Start saying, what can I do? You know that famous speech that John F. Kennedy made way back in the 60s? Ask not what my country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And I always like that statement, but I always like to put church in there. Ask not what the church can do for you, ask what you can do for your church. Get involved in church. Say, what preacher? Is there something that I can do? Is there a ministry? Is there something that I can get involved in? We'll find something for you to do if we have to make up something. Right? We'll make up something. I don't know. We'll come up with a ministry that we'll just make it up. It'll be just for you. How's that? It'll be a Find the Dust Bunnies ministry. Alright, we got some dust bunnies. Find a cobweb ministry. We got some around here, I'm sure. But get involved in church. Just do something for God. Stop talking about it and do it. Number 5, read and study the Bible. Read and study the Bible. It's such a blessing when I hear people say, hey, you know what, I'm reading my Bible this year. Hey, praise the Lord. Or I heard, you know, this past December, hey, I'm finishing reading my Bible for the first time this past year. Hey, praise the Lord. Or I heard somebody today told me that so-and-so was reading their Bible, and that's a real blessing. But read and study your Bible. Why in the world do we have a Bible anyway? Well, I got my Bible just so I can carry it back and forth to church. Yeah, you look really good. Yeah, you look really spiritual. But you do nothing with it during the week? You don't ever open it up and read it. It's just, you just bring it with you so you can look spiritual, right? Bringing your Bible to church does not make you look any more spiritual than wearing a tie, guys, to church. And ladies, and, you know, dressing up for church. That's, you know, or those of you that don't wear a tie. We're not against you. You're okay. But just carrying your Bible to church does not make you spiritual. We need to read and study the Bible. Number six, attend the church faithfully. Why? Why do we attend church faithfully? Well, God demands it and commands it, but it's the right thing to do. So many churches today are closing their doors because members want to stay home. Now, I'm thankful that we've expanded our live streaming ministry, and there's people out there that are watching us, and praise God for that, but this is not a replacement for church. Thank God for those of you, we have a few, that send your tithes in via the mail or via PayPal or whatever, however your tithe comes in. Praise God. But attending, there's something about going to church. Somebody approached me after church today and said, Pastor, if they say you got to close a church, you're not going to do it, are you? Well, no, I don't want to close a church. And this person said, you know, just there's something about attending church. I wish everybody had that attitude. I wish everybody that could come to church and just decides to stay home from church had the same attitude. There's just something special about being in church. But attend church faithfully. Number seven. Witness. Pass out tracts. And invite people to church. Witness. Pass out tracts. And invite people to church. That's what we should be doing as Christians. All of these things that I have given to you are what we can do with a purpose. And there's a lot more. I know. We could sit around and we could probably come up with 150 of them. I'm just giving you throwing something out at you just to think about. But we need to witness. We need to pass out tracts. It's not too late for anybody. If they're still breathing, it's not too late for them. They still have a chance to get saved. They still have an opportunity, I should say, to get saved. As long as they're alive, they have an opportunity to be saved. And I shared this with you back several weeks ago. Lester Roloff said, if you want to, how did that phrase go? Lester Roloff said, if you want to see America help to get America saved, something like that. But we know what he meant by that, and I know what he meant by that. We need to see people getting saved. That changes the lives of people. And they're not going to get saved unless we witness to them. I still pray for that postcard that went out. Still pray for that. To have some kind of result in our area, in our community. And I want to see us do that more. And just get that out. I think it's important that we let people know how they can be saved quickly. Because we are living in the last days. Jesus could come back this week. Hallelujah, I'll take it. I'll go. So will you, right? You're saved. You're going to go. That would be wonderful. But we don't know when he's coming back. He may not be back for a while. He may just say, you know what? You're going to go through this. You're going to go through some things. And he'll get us through it. And then the last thing that I wrote down is stop acting like a Christian and be one. Stop acting like a Christian and be one. Hypocrites are actors. Amen. Hypocrites are actors. Maybe you like to watch movies or watch these actors and you've got a favorite actor. You've got somebody that you enjoy watching on the big screen or in your screen at your house or whatever. They're just actors. So many times, if we're watching something and somebody's going to get hurt, I have to say, no, it's just a movie, dummy. It's just, these are actors. It's not the real thing here going on. But we need to make sure that we're acting, not just acting like a Christian, but actually being a Christian. Folks, we need a purpose. And our purpose needs to be something that we decide that we're going to do for God. I don't know what these next few days or few weeks hold. I'm hearing all kinds of things. There's all kinds of chatter going on as to what could take place, what supposedly will take place. Who knows? I have no clue. But we are living in a time in which we need to start being the Christians that we need to be. Because I believe that'll change people, is when we point them to Christ. We point them to the Word of God. Say, you want to be saved? You want your life changed? You want to go to heaven when you die someday? This is the only way. Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. Nothing. Nothing. So, let's pray for our leaders. Let's make sure that we're spending time praying. Every day. For the situation going on in America. Pray for our existing president right now. And if the next president comes on Wednesday, if that takes place, as they're planning on it taking place, then we need to pray for President Biden. We need to pray for all of the leaders if that takes place on Wednesday. We need to be the best testimony that we can be for the Lord and see how other men and women in the Bible lived during their times. This is not the only time in history that people are struggling. So many. Again, we went all the way back this morning to Genesis 6 with Noah and proceeded through rapidly through the Bible. But so many people have gone through more treacherous times than we have ever gone through. Stop just sitting around talking about all of this stuff and let's start doing something for God. Get involved. Get involved. Find something to do for God. For God. Not for you. For God. Find something to do. Get involved. Read and study your Bible faithfully every day. Attend church faithfully when the doors are open. Witness. Pass out tracts and invite other people to church and stop acting like a Christian and be one. Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the example that we had of Daniel. Lord, what a tremendous example of his prayer life, of his steadfastness.